It's 5:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tomorrow at this time, in his 2010 campaign for governor, Scott Walker promised voters he'd balance the budget, shrink the size of government, and help people create jobs. Tomorrow, we begin a three-part series that looks at whether Governor Walker followed through on those promises. Join WPR's own Sean Johnson as he digs into the numbers, talks to the experts, and listens to what voters have to say. That's starting tomorrow here on Central Time.
Right now, smart gun technology is off to a bumpy start in the United States. Smart gun manufacturers like Armadix are offering a .22 caliber handgun that uses a radio frequency-enabled stopwatch to identify the authorized user so no one else can fire it.
But the smart gun technology isn't going over well with Second Amendment rights supporters, at least so far. Groups like the NRA and the National Shooting Sports Foundation question the reliability of the technology along with its political ramifications.
Adam Winkler joins us now. He's a professor of law at UCLA and the author of Gunfight, The Right to Bear Arms in America. Adam, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with the smart guns themselves. What do we know about how they work?
Well, the smart guns are an emerging technology that would make a firearm so that it's only useful by the person who owns the firearm. And there would be some way, either it would check your fingerprints, and the owner would have their fingerprints within the gun, and it would only fire if those fingerprints register. Some of the other technologies that have been talked about are the user wears a particular ring that would send a signal to the firearm so that the firearm would know that it could fire, or even the wrist rods that you mentioned a moment ago. So they're all providing some kind of usually biometrics or radio frequency identification to try to improve gun safety, to make sure that someone who's not the true owner of a gun can't get their hands on it and shoot a neighbor, a kid, or someone accidentally.
Can you give us a sense of how smart guns are doing elsewhere in the world, in Europe, for instance?
You know what? The technology is still being developed. There's not been much spread of these firearms yet. I think there will be increasing demand for these kinds of firearms in some circumstances. The real question is whether there'll be a big demand for these firearms in the United States of America. And a lot of gun owners who are strong proponents of the Second Amendment believe that this technology is dangerous and would be an amount to forsaking people's Second Amendment rights.
So when you say that a lot of gun rights supporters think that these guns are dangerous, what do you mean by that? What's dangerous about them?
Well, one they worry about is, for instance, the arms manufacturer you mentioned a moment ago that's got this firearm that's being put out on the market. They've already said that they would give the government the ability to use radio frequencies, some kind of pulse technology that would actually make the firearms all inoperable. And for Second Amendment people, they're very worried that they're going to be forced to have guns with the smart technology, and then the government, when it wants people to be disarmed, will just make sure that they can't fire those weapons and use them for self-defense. And, of course, that idea of gun confiscation by another means is one of the great fears that motivates many people in the gun rights community.
After the shootings at Newtown, President Obama called for the development of smart gun technology with an executive order. So it seems like an interesting time if this is something that at least this White House administration is pushing for, and yet gun rights supporters are pushing back against it. How do you expect that to play out?
Well, that's a battle that's been going on, I guess, now since Newtown, and it doesn't look like it's going to give way anytime soon. I do think one of the biggest issues that we have to recognize with the technology is that, you know, there's already about 320 million guns out there in circulation in America, and they don't have smart gun technology. So even if we were to mandate that new firearms include this technology, it would take a long time before the stockpile of firearms in America didn't include a whole lot of firearms that don't have this technology and that wouldn't be smart guns. There's always going to be quote-unquote stupid guns out there. So the effectiveness of this kind of gun control law can be limiting, but it might be something that gun owners who have children, for instance, might be really attracted to for this technology just as a consumer safety issue. I want to be able to have a gun in my home for self-defense, but I don't want my children to be able to get a hand on that gun, fire it, and kill someone by accident.
But right now it seems as though it's going to be hard for that person to buy one of these guns. The New York Times recently profiled a representative from the company Armadix who makes one of these smart guns. And a store in L.A. had agreed to stock it, and then they yanked it. There was a huge outcry from gun rights advocates. What do you make about the market for smart guns?
Well, I do think that the marketplace is really where we're seeing a lot of our battles over gun control move to. With absence of legislation and Congress and whatnot, the battles are now whether people are going to be able to bring their guns into Starbucks and Target. And for the gun rights people, what they're protesting is gun dealers that they think are not helping the Second Amendment. And so they've a long history of gun advocates who are both shooters and gun enthusiasts boycotting companies or stores that sell things that they don't like as a way of exercising their right to protest in the marketplace. So I think we're seeing consumers on both sides of this issue really take to private businesses and try to push through consumer demand for policies that they agree with.
That's been the argument from the National Shooting Sports Foundation. They said that the market should speak for itself. That's one of the reasons that they think we haven't seen smart guns take off, and others reliability of these weapons. But is it fair to say the market is speaking for itself, or are we hearing from the people who might want these smart guns? Are we only hearing from the people who don't?
Well, the truth is the people who don't want smart guns may be a very significant segment of the consumer market for them. Even though there's 320 million guns in America, and there's seemingly almost 20 million added to our stockpile every single year, it's a very decreasing percentage of the population that owns guns. And it's just that people are more collectors. They now have multiple guns. It's much more of a hobbyist kind of activity. Those are the people who are going to be the main purchasers of guns. So maybe they're just not willing to buy this kind of technology. I think over time, though, if the technology is reliable, if the technology comes at a good price, there will be demand in the marketplace for this among homeowners who have children.
Well, one flag that Second Amendment advocates have raised is whether or not this technology is actually reliable, that you need a gun to fire when you need a gun to fire. You can't afford a technology blip. Is the technology, do you think, ready to go?
You know, it doesn't. I have not seen enough studies to know whether it's ready to go. Armatex is saying that it's ready to go, but we just haven't seen enough of it to go forward to know whether it's really ready to go. I think it will have to have a high degree of reliability for many gun owners who are going to want to know that their firearm can be useful in a moment of great stress and great need, and not to have to fudge with technology. But, you know, I think what we've seen generally with regards to technology are improvements such that they become more reliable than the people. Hey, we'll be driving Google cars soon. Maybe having a Google gun isn't so far-fetched.
Right. Well, let's talk about that technology angle, because technology has made huge inroads into so many aspects of American life these days. Why do you think it's been a much, much tougher sell when it comes to guns and gun rights people?
Well, part of it is that it is a group that is resistant to certain kinds of technology. They've been resistant to technology that they think will sort of lead to either more gun control or, like in this particular instance, the way that it will lead to confiscation or effective disarmament of the civilian population. One thing you've got to realize when thinking about the gun debate and the perspective of gun rights advocates is that many of them really are convinced that the government is going to come take away our guns, if not today, then tomorrow or the next day. And they want to make sure that laws aren't put in place today that'll make that easy for the government to do tomorrow. So they fight against background checks, for instance, because they're worried that it'll lead to a government registry of everyone who has firearms, and then those guns will come and be taken away. And with regards to the smart technology, there's concern that if you require all guns to have smart technology, the government's either going to confiscate the guns that are currently out there, or use the technology in a way that will effectively disarm gun owners. And that is a belief that I think many gun owners are very sure of and very convinced of. And so I think that helps shape their perspective of how they see this kind of technology.
So is this the argument that it's sort of a backdoor way for the government to pass gun control?
Yeah, and I don't even think they'd say it's a backdoor way. It's a frontdoor way. It's a requiring that guns, it's literally the government controlling the functionality of a firearm. That's what they're fearful of. Again, I think that fear is probably overblown, but we'll have to see how this technology develops. If the technology is developed in a way that is safe, efficient, and effective, then you're going to see gun owners moving to it, and there'll be some gun manufacturer out there, some startup that's willing to make a name for itself, that will go out and try to sell these guns. That's how the marketplace works. I'm sure it'll work in this instance, too.
We're talking about smart guns right now and why they've been a hard sell for gun rights groups in America. Our guest is Adam Winkler. He's a professor of law at UCLA and the author of Gunfight, The Right to Bear Arms in America.
And we want to hear from you. Do you support this idea? Do you like the idea of a smart gun that can recognize that it's the owner or not trying to fire it? If you're a gun owner, would you want to own one of these smart guns? If you're not a gun owner, would this address some safety concerns you have and lead you to buy one of them? Should there be government mandates that guns should be smart, or do you fear exactly that? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking about the smart gun, a gun with user recognition capabilities that manufacturers hope can address things like suicides, accidental deaths, and stolen weapons. It's been an uphill battle for smart guns in the United States with opposition from gun advocacy groups. We're talking about the issue right now with Adam Winkler. He's a professor of law at UCLA and the author of the book Gunfight, The Right to Bear Arms in America.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you think smart firearms are the wave of the future, or a bad idea that we don't need? Are you concerned about the Second Amendment, that maybe once guns with high-tech safety features go on sale, government mandates could follow? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post over at the Central Time Facebook page.
And we're going to go to our phones right now, take our first call from Mark in Eau Claire. Hi, Mark.
Hi, my name is Mark. Oh, you already said that. I'm on both sides. I see both sides of it. I'm the guy who is anti-government being able to control the guns at all to protect yourself from the government. But then on the same token, if you have kids in the family that are they're on medications and that for obviously anxiety issues and whatever else, I don't like the idea of the ring, because if that ring is off or something like that, someone else can steal, or they can take that gun and put it by the ring and still commit suicide by you. But if it's a fingerprint, or the goal is to somehow find a way that can be controlled. But it also puts a fear on, now the government knows you have that gun, they could track you down because they know where that gun's at, because it has whatever it has inside that gun to be tracked. So then they know they can find you, whether you have that gun or three or four other guns, they can pinpoint exactly where you're at inside the home. So that's a concern. So anyhow, any questions?
Right. Yeah, no, a lot of great points there, Mark. I'm going to see what our guest has to say about some of that. First of all, I want to ask, Adam, is Mark right about the technology that these guns have, some kind of tracking GPS in them, or is that not true?
Well, it depends on the technology. There's so many different smart gun technology. It's really an overarching term used for a lot of different kinds of weapons. I mean, it dates back to 40 years ago. There was a firearm where you had a magnet in a ring, and just if the magnet was touching the trigger, it would fire. If not, it wouldn't fire, and that was a smart gun. And that, of course, wouldn't have any government tracking that would be possible. But there is the possibility in some of these technologies where it's working on some kind of radio transmitter or proximity sensor, where there may be something that could be hacked. That's at least the concern. We really haven't seen any evidence that they have been hacked, but we really just don't know, because the technology is still in its infant stages, despite in some ways being around for over 40 years.
And we're also hearing from some ambivalence, obviously, from Mark there. He's got some interest in it for safety measures, for people in the home not using the gun accidentally or for a suicide. On the other hand, wondering if the technology is actually going to work and be reliable. How does that ultimately get resolved?
Well, I'm not sure that it's going to get resolved in the near term any more than our other battles over gun control are going to be resolved in the near term. But I do think that over time, I think one of the important steps that we've taken is the Supreme Court in 2008 recognized that the Second Amendment does create an individual right to bear arms. That settles one of the biggest questions that was dividing Americans in certain ways. And I think as that ruling becomes over time more and more accepted, and it becomes more clear to many in the gun rights community that the government isn't coming to take away anyone's guns, then we're likely to see maybe a rosier future for gun control. Either that, or we'll have to see more political mobilization by gun control forces. So far, the mobilization has favored the NRA and the gun rights forces. The gun control advocates want to be stronger. They're going to have to do a better job at the polls.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that call, Mark. And let's move on to Chris in Rhinelander. Hi, Chris.
Hi there. I love NPR, love listening.
Thank you.
My comment to it is basically that I feel like anything that you add to a gun can be either taken off or dismantled, or say it's some sort of electronic, like you said, hacking. I was a marksman instructor for the Marine Corps. I know how you put just about any kind of weapon together and take it apart, and you can customize them any number of ways and modify them. So I just feel like this, it wouldn't quite work. I mean, if someone's determined enough, they can figure out a way around just about anything, and I feel like that's the case for this type of technology.
So would you rather see guns used as they are today without sort of branching off into technological smart features? You think it's better just to leave things the way they are?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I'm not really a big fan of gun control. But if we're looking for a way to cut down on violence and things like that, I feel like I don't know the way to, you know, make it stop or anything like that, but I don't feel like this is the way to make it stop. I mean, people, if they have the option to not buy one of these guns, they're not going to buy it. I mean, some people just, like the whole thing has been, they just don't want the technology around them. And I don't know the best way to make it effective, to make gun control effective, but I feel like this wouldn't really work just because there's got to be a way around it, and someone would figure it out eventually, and then it would become popular,
right?
I think.
Gotcha. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for your perspective there. And Adam, what do you say to that?
Well, you know, it's a very important point that we should recognize that there are some purposes for which a smart gun law may be effective and some purposes for which it won't be effective. I don't think it's really designed to limit the criminal misuse of guns, stop some bank robber who wants to get their hands on guns from getting his hand on a gun that he can't use. Obviously, the person's not going to go into the bank to rob the bank with a gun that he can't reliably fire. I think what the smart gun technology is about is providing an option for the family gun owner who's got children in the home to have a firearm in his house that he is more secure in the knowledge that his children will not get access to and use. And so it might be an effective tool to reduce accidents over time. Again, once so many of the quote-unquote dumb guns that are in existence aren't the ones being owned in all these homes. But so it can be useful, I think, for reducing the accident rate with firearms, but it's not going to do anything, as the caller rightly suggests, about criminal violence with guns.
All right. Well, thank you for that call. And Adam, so far the gun lobby has been very successful at putting the brakes on new gun control legislation. Ultimately, do you see technology, and maybe not this technology, maybe emerging technology down the road, doing what some politicians can't and just getting at the issue from a different angle?
Well, I think technology is going to be one of the most important issues with regards to firearm regulation in the next 20 years, which is interesting because the truth is guns haven't developed all that much at all that quickly over the last 400 years. You know, they've become so they can fire more quickly, and obviously that's become commonplace. But overall, the technology is very similar to what it was 100 years ago, 200 years ago. But we're seeing a real rash of new technology, not only the idea of smart guns, but also the possibility of people being able to make their own firearms through 3D printing technology. Another thing that's very much at its infant stages, but is almost certain to become very, very popular, and people will be able to maybe at some point print their own guns that work in a reliable fashion. What does that do to our background check laws or our other gun control laws? How does it make it more difficult? How do we make sure that those guns aren't going to be have sufficient metal or other materials that they'll be detected when they get through airport security devices? You know, it's going to be quite a big issue of technology and firearms regulation over the next few years, and smart guns are really just the tip of the iceberg.
See if we can get in one more very quick call. Dave in Ashland, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to point out before I get into the statement that I'm usually a very liberal person. All my liberal friends from Hollywood, I'm from Hollywood, pretty much hate my stance on guns. And my stance on guns is ultimately that you can't get rid of them. It's a bell that you can't unring. A gun is a tube, a propellant, and a projectile. I worked in special effects in the film industry and not long enough to know that anybody that wants to make a gun can. Now, I have kids. I grew up in a family with guns. My kids always had guns. They lived in Missouri for quite a while. And I understand the safety aspect of this particular technology, and I'm all for it. I'm not afraid that someone's going to try to take away my guns. I'm afraid that someone will try to legislate something to try to do that.
All right, and we're going to have to leave it there, Dave, because we're running out of time. Adam, your response?
Well, it's interesting. He does sort out those fears that he has. And that many gun owners really do have. And I think it's the reason why the marketplace hasn't really reacted as well to these guns. But, you know, the technology hasn't really been fully developed yet. I think there is no doubt that businesses, if they see that there's a possible demand out there in the consumer market for these firearms, as I think there probably is when the technology becomes reliable, they'll spend some time investing in trying to make that technology reliable. I think we're going to see more smart guns in the future, not fewer.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Adam Winkler, professor of law at UCLA and the author of the book Gunfight, The Right to Bear Arms in America.